It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Sculpture Milwaukee is a month away from wrapping up its second year of art installations along Wisconsin Avenue. This year, it was bracketed on one end by Robert Indiana's iconic Love sculpture that was on the east and Anna Pravchuk's Stealing Shadows, Michelangelo, to the west.
The exhibition runs through the 21st of October, but planning is already underway for year number three, and that will be installed next spring. Mary Lou Canode is the project director for Sculpture Milwaukee, and she joins us in the studio now. Mary Lou, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We are wrapping up a second year of Sculpture Milwaukee. Launched last year with great fanfare. It was fun to watch the sculptures go in and people interact with them. How has the second year gone? There's always a potential of a second year letdown.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, Bonnie, but I think that we've done a great job of figuring out what our systems are, because the public sees the artwork. They don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And I would say that this year we had a really great diversity of artworks. I think the feedback from the public has been really great. One thing people have said is, wow, the works aren't quite as big. Well, we have two works that are almost 14,000 pounds. So technically, from our perspective, absolutely they're as big. But also there's a nuance to the kind of work that we're borrowing, you know, which artists are dealing with really contemporary issues that maybe has some resonance for the city of Milwaukee. And that's one of the things that we were looking at this year. I'm really proud of all the volunteers that we have working with us, all the donors, the team members. Everybody's done a really fantastic job. I would say that internally, we've really done some great improvements this year. And externally, I think that we've done a great deal of outreach that I think has been really very, very successful.
Yeah, the first year, it's the excitement of the new.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my gosh, what's going up on Wisconsin Avenue? And people were watching things being installed and also being taken down at the end of the year. And so this year, it's like, oh, more sculptures going up. Fine. But it seems like there is more infrastructure behind it now to help people engage with it. You know, I've seen tours. And I know you probably had those the first year, but it seemed like this year there were more of them. And I was seeing like docents walking around. It's almost like going into an art museum and having a docent lead you through stuff.
Absolutely. And actually, one of our key partners last year was the Milwaukee Art Museum and their docent program. So, you know, we were doing tours, weekly tours last year. We're doing them again this year. I think that we've added a lot more infrastructure around that. We also have a lot of other groups that we're working with who are doing tours. Is Historic Milwaukee. We've got a different range of educational partners, too. Giselle Studio, True School, Ex Fabula. And so we have actually seen a proliferation of people on the avenue enjoying the artwork, but looking at it from a lot of different perspectives. So, you know, Milwaukee Art Museum docents, they're interpreting the work, but they're really representing who is this artist? You know, what's their background? Ex Fabula is an incredible set of conversations about personal responses to artwork. And the storytellers talk about the works and how they respond to it, but they also get the public to engage too. I heard some really amazing, heartfelt, really sweet, tender stories when I went through a couple of works with Ex Fabula team. They were really great to work with. So there's no doubt about the fact that we've diversified the kinds of audiences that we're addressing, you know, children, youth, adults, teens, college students. So I feel like we've really expanded how it is that we're serving the public, really.
So it seems like this is going to be a permanent annual thing. Is that the hope?
That's our hope.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the first year to the second, there was a lot of question about, well, let's evaluate our success. What was our budget really looking like? You know, how are our volunteers reacting to it? And what's the capacity of the funders in town? And so when we launched the second year, it wasn't really until January. This year, we're starting actually in October. We're going to be starting to work on things much sooner than we did last year. So I'm really proud to say that I think everybody feels that there's a real important value this has to our community, to our city, to the downtown. And we really are looking at launching something that's for the future. I think we've all been very spoiled in Milwaukee with all the great institutions that were founded in the 50s and 60s and 70s. This is about us looking to the future, too.
One of the things that both years have focused on is an international reach. You've looked to artists from all over the world, but you've also focused on Milwaukee artists, too. How committed are you making sure that in the future more Milwaukee artists get put on the Avenue?
Well, we are always committed to that. Finding artists who can deal with public art and the mechanics behind that, not everybody does that. And so that's one of the things that we're working on developing, broader network. But we've also broadened the kinds of artists that we're dealing with this year. We're dealing with storytellers and performance artists and musicians. And so it's not just visual artists that we're working with. It's all these other people in this in the great, broad, and rich community that we've got in Milwaukee.
I think it's a really great idea to, you know, to expand what public art is. And we tend to think of an installation. We think of sculpture. Even if it's kinetic, we think of something permanent that's sitting there. But that can be people, too.
Absolutely. That's actually a great point. And, you know, public art has changed a lot. I mean, public art is all around us. And I would hazard a guess that everything that we see in our urban environment is designed by someone. So, therefore, everything is art in some ways. Buildings are art. The street design is by people who are thinking about flow, et cetera, et cetera. And public artists are really considering what would really engage people in very different parts of their brain. So you're right, guy on horse, mermaid and fountain, those are really very typical and traditional forms of art. And let's think about, what does a piece of music mean? Does it highlight the other sounds that are around us? What about something that's fleeting as opposed to something that's permanent? And so these are really new genres of public art. It sometimes can be confusing to the public, which is used to guys on horses. And so this is really part of the educational role that we have, which is discussing the things that have been going on in the arts for the last 30, 40 years and bringing them to Milwaukee and highlighting what exists here too. So I think it's a really great benefit and balance that we're trying to strike between really great contemporary global art and then what's really unique to the city of Milwaukee.
So how do you and Russell work together? You're both co-curators of this, and I know he was at the Milwaukee Art Museum for a long time. He's now based in Chicago. How are you guys working on that part of it?
Well, you know, both Russell and I have been working, of course, in different roles in the arts for a very, very long time. I've actually just returned to Milwaukee. I was the director of a sculpture park in St. Louis, but I used to be at UWM, in fact. So Russell and I have access to different parts of the art world. We have very common attitudes, though. You know, when you're in the arts, you think about what are best practices because, of course, like any field, you know, there are plenty of standards that we hold to as well. And as nonprofit people, you know, we're really dedicated to, you know, what is the public benefit, best practices for, you know, really stewarding the resources that people give to us. So I think our underpinning ideas are very, very similar. Now, that being said, we have different access to the art worlds. Russell knows a great deal of blue chip artists. He's worked with people in New York more than I have in some ways. I've worked a lot with Europeans, you know, North African artists. So I think that we have great complementary skills. Our conversations, though, are a lot of fun. I always really enjoy, you know, when you get a colleague who really understands a shorthand, it's really a lot of fun. But we're really very deliberate about representing different generations of artists. For example, this year we have Robert Indiana, who's been well known since the 1960s, really major artist, just passed away, but a major artist who has had huge impact on the arts for 50 years. And then we have younger artists like Shana McCaw and Brent Budsberg, who are two artists, Looklu, who we commissioned to do their first outdoor artwork like this. So I feel like we really have great interest in figuring out, you know, how do these artists work together? What are the great points of contact they have? But also, how are these artists commenting on the world in which we live?
Well, I also imagine that as you're thinking about who you're going to ask to do this, how they talk to each other mm-hmm. along the street, or do they? Are they in opposition? How are they interacting? Not just people, but the artworks themselves. And so am I right in that? Are you, the two of you sitting down saying, how are these things going to work together?
Absolutely. But also, you know, how do they comment on the city and contemporary society? So a lot of the works that we have are really framing the architecture of the city in very specific ways. The John Henry, for example, when you circumnavigate the piece, he's really framing the city like little film still. So every angle looks very, very different and distinct. When you think about Hank Willis Thomas, his work, which is about the role of sports stars in contemporary society, and enshrining their role for us. He's thinking about the social infrastructure of the world that we live in. Some of these artists are talking about physical space. Some of them are talking about social space. Some of them are talking about political space. And so all contemporary artists, for me, great contemporary artists, really tell us something about the world we live in that we maybe aren't seeing ourselves, that the news media can't give us. They're representing something that we maybe will have resonance for. So when you look at Hank Wills Thomas, by golly, we've got a new, you know, sports arena for the Bucks to play in. How does that not sort of speak to the role basketball plays in our community? Robert Indiana, you know, people who saw the old Mecca know that Robert Indiana did the floor there many, many years ago, in a work commissioned by Steve Marcus. So there's a great circle that comes around to us. And so this is what we're trying to do with our educational materials, you know, really give the public those links, those points of contact where you can see, well, this artist has their own career, but also how does it reflect our life in Milwaukee? So there is sort of across Wisconsin Avenue ebbs and flows, these little eddies of connection, and it's like seeing a double feature of a movie. You know, there are little connections that you can make in your own mind, too.
Is there ever a thought, as I know you've only had 2 years so far, to expand it out beyond Wisconsin Avenue, take in other neighborhoods, and somehow connect them all together? Is that in the future plan?
Well, I think that we would all love to see that happen. I think our priority is really to use this artwork to enliven the downtown area. There, you know, we have Steve Marcus as our founder, but our other founder, our umbrella organization, is Milwaukee Downtown Inc., Bid 21. And Beth Wierick and her team have been enormously helpful in helping us understand, you know, all the things that they're doing downtown to make it more alive. Like many cities across the country, they're really reinvesting in the urban core of our cities. And then down the road, we're really hoping to connect to other parts of the community. We've had conversations with other people. I think we need to really, really get this all nailed down and then expand our capacity, which really means having more people involved with what it is that we're doing. We're a very, very small crew. I think our ambitions are huge. The expectations are large. But, you know, it takes a lot of people to actually execute the things that happen in a museum or this kind of, you know, art program. So, you know, that's our goal. But I think we need to really take it one step at a time, too.
Oh, sure. You don't want to overextend yourself
right
before you've even really gotten off the ground.
That's right. So the learning curve from last year to this year was really amazing. You know, both Russell and I have worked in the arts for a very long time. All of our team members have incredible skills. I feel enormously lucky. We work with the City Department of Public Works. We work with KEI Landscaping, who's helping us determine how to use the flower beds. We're working with Open Roads, who's helping us with our permitting. Still in all, we have to think about, are the sidewalks hollow underneath this? And so when you have a 14,000-pound artwork, you can only put it in so many places.
Yes.
You know, where can the cranes go? You know, we can't be on the streets with a crane until after 9 o'clock so we don't impede traffic. All these really incredible learning curves. I would say that we're all much taller. The learning curve is great. We've all grown. So this year we're really looking at, so what can we do with the resources we've got? How do we grow those resources? And how do we support all of the volunteers, our marketing folks, our design folks, our website folks? You know, so it's been really very complicated. We want to make sure that we've got those all really rock solid. And then we can start to experiment and do even some crazier things than we did the last 2 years.
Well, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. When do we start getting the idea of what's coming up next year? When are you going to start announcing those artists?
Well, so Russell and I have been working on this already for about a month and a half. Lots of artists last year we couldn't get. You know, you can't always get the things you want. We can't always get what you want.
As the Rolling Stones so famously said.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, you know, what's really interesting, Bonnie, behind all of this is the fact that public sculpture is now a huge, huge part of the art world. I would say 40 years when the first sculpture parks in the country were being formed, there were not that many artists doing large outdoor sculpture. Today, almost every museum has an outdoor sculpture park. And now a lot of private collectors are actively actively buying sculpture for their own collections, for their public parks that they fund, for their own backyards. So there's a great deal of competition for what it is that we're doing. And so, you know, we've done a lot of research, but not everything is available. Also, sculpture is much, much more expensive than a painting. A painting can be very expensive, don't get me wrong, but sculpture is really expensive. It's expensive to ship. It's expensive to install. You know, there's so many different things that go into this. Also, public art has to be fairly durable. A bird can do droppings on top of your artwork, but we don't want people to climb on artwork. How do we protect the artwork from inappropriate interaction? So we've been looking at lists of people that we had left over from last year we weren't quite able to get, and we've got a whole nother list of people this year for all the research that two of us have been doing. So we've already been doing outreach to lenders. We've been talking to some artists. We're doing some studio visits. I'm hoping we'll have, maybe by February, we'll have a really confirmed list, or at least a partial confirmed list. So, and that's about where we were last year, too. So we're working right now.
It sounds terrific. And of course, we will talk once the list is finalized and, you know, hopefully get some artists in the studio this time.
Great. Perfect.
Would be great.
Yeah.
So Mary Lou, I want to thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations on two successful years.
Thanks.
And here's to many more to come.
Lovely.
I appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you so much, Bonnie. And I just want to thank everybody who's been so supportive of Sculpture Milwaukee.
Mary Lou Canode is the project manager for Sculpture Milwaukee. The second season installment is on display along Wisconsin Avenue through late October. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.